But some important people thought so and really told me. My very best friend I would normally turn to was out of town, my wife. So in the middle of the day, I went home just wondering what I could do. My wife's dog, Zoe, who always respected me, but never greeted me at the door like she did with my wife. She would jump up on Elizabeth and lick her and play and pet, and they would just be so cool. I got the paw. So here I am in the middle of the day nursing my emotional wounds, feeling pretty much like a failure. It occurred to me that in a situation like this, I've invited other people to cry, to let it go, to release. Have you ever tried to cry when you don't cry? It doesn't work real well. It's embarrassing. So I prayed to be able to grieve and let go some. I prayed for the Holy Spirit's consolation and listening. And I still couldn't make the tears move. There are some people in this sanctuary who have been through this. The tears don't come. And then I felt this wet nose above my knee. And I looked up, and there was Zoe nuzzling me. She put up her paw on my knee and nuzzled me some more. And then she got up with both legs. I swear to God, and licked me. I'm doubly embarrassed at this point, and oh, so grateful as the tears finally began to run. Without my asking her, she listened to me. She gave to me from her heart compassion. And so when we look and see those dogs with the ears, they are preparing us to unburden ourselves to their care. They represent those angels in our lives, sometimes literally dogs like Zoe, more often other expressions of God's creation. Those people who sit with us, encourage us, search to find understanding with us, and those, in the reverse way, who ask of us that quality of listening. That is what this sermon is about, and that is, in my view, an expression of the holy. Everybody in the world can learn to listen and listen with compassion. It takes practice. And part of that practice, as I have learned over the years, comes from listening within our own thoughts and prayers, our own feelings and worries, our own attitudes and judgments, all the things that run through our minds. By listening internally, we become better and better at listening externally. I like this text. I'd like you to repeat after me. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given to you. Now we're going to replace those verbs with the word listen. I think this way of understanding Jesus' teaching can really move us into a deeper, compassionate life. Listen, and you will find. Listen, and the door will be open. Listen, and you will receive. This sermon is a description of a listening as sacrament flow, and it begins with this observation. Listening comes first and foremost out of our willingness to pay attention. Pay attention to our external world. Pay attention to our relationships. Pay attention to reality in the greater social world. And pay attention to what's going on inside of us, which is sometimes the most difficult challenge of all, because of the baggage that so many of us carry. So paying attention. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Wounded Healer, one of the greatest encouragements I've ever encountered, describes the paying attention so that we can better listen. Goes like this. You are in your home. And with apologies to Marshall for the phrase about may God be filling up the whole house. In this particular metaphor, Nouwen is saying that you're in the finest room of your home, say the parlor or the living room, make sure that you set up a comfortable chair for Jesus. So as you're meditating, as you're praying, you create space for His voice, His presence, His encouragement. And then you make sure that another fine chair is set there for the other person that you're going to listen to. That you're able to create space with the help of the Holy to be with the other person and really hear what they are sharing, what they are needing. Not what you can say and do and fix, not with judgment about what their journey is, but instead encouraging understanding. So you make that chair for that person. And as you're listening to Christ and the compassionate encouragement, and as you're listening to the other person, you are listening to yourself in that mix. What we might call resurrection gentleness. But we have to learn to pay attention and provide space. We get the interference all the time going through us, clogging up our ability to connect deeply with God and with other people. So the second point in the listening, which can be wholly transformative, is that we open our hearts. We've got some closures, don't we? We've got a whole set of guilt complexes holding that heart in, shielding it from openness and compassion. Or we even have rage. And so much of the guilt or of the rage we didn't earn, but it has come our way. And so try praying into gentleness when what you uncover in the silences of your meditation, this or this. So we need help opening our hearts to be able to feel what we feel. Opening the heart is a way of following our feelings, noticing where our feelings have become attitudes, where attitudes have become sometimes even obsessions. So to observe without judgment, to observe what we are feeling in such a way as to let those feelings go, let those attitudes be, in effect, befriend the junk that's inside of us. Pema Chodron, the Buddhist nun teacher, says it this way: by the practice of what Buddhists call Tonglen, What we do is we recognize and affirm the reality of that which inside of us would poison us, would take us down, and respectfully reject their power, making space for the power of compassion. I was doing a children's lesson years ago, a bunch of kids up on the chancel. It was Valentine's time, so I made that critical error that preachers sometimes do. You ask a rhetorical question and then somebody tries to answer it. Derails the whole movement. So I said to the kids, well, what's Valentine's all about? Isn't it about, and one kid raised her hand and she said, oh, Pastor Cooper, it's about the little angels. They have bows and arrows and they fire the bow and the arrow shoots off and it hits them right here. He understands the need to open our hearts to ourselves as well as our neighbor. That some more of the resurrection Christ can be experienced through acceptance and the application of compassion, which can very simply through a breath prayer be through breathing. Breathing gentleness into those feelings, into that attitude, into those difficulties. You may not get hit with an arrow, might get hit with a wet doggy nose, or a sudden impulse to talk to somebody whom we trust to encourage us. Holy listening is about rediscovering acceptance and love at the center of our hearts. John Fox, great poet, writes it this way. When someone deeply listens to you, it is like holding out a dented cup you've had since childhood and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When it balances on top of the brim, you are understood. When it overflows and touches your skin, you are loved. When someone deeply listens to you, the room where you stay starts a new life. And the place where you wrote your first poem begins to glow in your mind's eye. It is as if gold has been discovered in your life. When someone deeply listens to you, your bare feet are on the earth, and a beloved land that seemed distant is now at home within you. When someone deeply listens to you, and sometimes that someone is inside of you, the Christ, offering you compassion and understanding and forgiveness and encouragement. And so we learn to listen by breathing and acknowledging and practicing non-judgment and searching for the movement of love in our very own heart and mind. Did you know, I didn't until recently, that the ancient Hebrew definition of the word grace is protected space. Long before religious abstractions were developed in the Hebrew religion, Bedouin peoples on the travel, pitching tents in circles to provide protection and a space where people can live and have their being. The word that describes that encampment is grace. A place that is safe and protected where you can live and live fully. From those people who gave Jesus to the world, who offers us a safe place in our souls and in our community where we can live and have our being, undercurrent, feeding us in that space, compassion. We had come to the end of a service of Holy Communion decades ago in a church I served. As illustration of opening the heart and activating compassion. Everybody had been served. We moved into singing our final hymn. But over here, a widow woman, well into her 70s, Lou by name, stayed kneeling at the altar. We had served to people as they were kneeling on that particular Sunday. She was one of the favorite people of the church. In her second marriage, she ran around with an activist. She would tell us on the side, I'm not so much into protests and activism, but I sure love him, so I go along. And then he died. She had never been baptized, and so as a widow woman, using holy water from the Holy Land that she had retrieved and brought for her baptism, we baptized her. This fine, gentle woman of very modest and shy faith had claimed Christ and her community amidst her grieving. But her heart was hurting. And as we were singing our concluding hymn, I noticed that she didn't get up and leave, that she was still there. And I started to worry. This is the kind of worry a minister shouldn't be doing, but I surely was doing it. What will happen if we finish the hymn and she's still there? What will happen if I give the benediction and she's still there? What are we to do? And then quit worrying, Wigan. This is a movement. She's there. That's good. The Holy Spirit is here among us. Quit your worrying. Keep singing. Don't worry. And then over here, should I stop the hymn and go to her or what? You know, well, egos get in the way. And as we're moving into verse 3 or 4, one of the women of the congregation got up and walked down and kneeled right next to Lou. Put her arm around her. And I started to realize, get out of the way. Just get out of the way, preacher. And by the end of that concluding hymn, another woman had gotten up and had come down and kneeled on the other side of Lou and put her arm around her. And you could see her shaking with tears and crying. And you could see compassion so alive. After the service, I talked to one of the comforters and I said, what moved you? What happened? Why did you go and do that? Thank you. But what impulse? And she said, I heard her heart. And so listening is a practice that we can practice, not only with other people, but with ourselves, and call for God's compassion, call for Christ's gentle forever love. And so the title of this is Listen Up. Listen in. Listen out. Listen up. Listen down. Listen to the left. Listen to the right. Listen to all around and listen up. I'll end with this. My fifth grade teacher, Miss Bugey, warned us early in our year together, fifth grade, that she demanded people listen to her and listen to one another. And so she said, when I say to you, class, listen, you'd better. I have a reputation. People think I'm Norwegian. Well, I've got some Irish in me too, and so that's a volatile mix. So kids, when I say listen, what do? Pretty good there. However, she said to us, when I say listen up, oh, the devil's own could be on the way. You pay attention when I say listen up. She did that one time that I recall. One of our students in a wheelchair had come mid-year, special needs student, thought Miss Bugey would be just the right teacher to integrate her. This was back in the mid-60s. Debbie Diapers, we called her, not ever in front of Miss Bugey or Debbie, but in the sand lot at recess, we called her Debbie Diapers because of her diapers. Day came when she couldn't hold it and peed. Donnie Hansen jumped up and said, "Look, Debbie Diapers peed. Ooh." And we all laughed, except for Connie Stockwell, who sat up near Debbie Diapers, got out of her desk and went over and hugged Debbie Diapers, comforted her, and asked for help to remove her. And Miss Bugey ran right over, and the two took Debbie out and brought her down to where she could have privacy and get her needs met. And Miss Bugey and Connie returned back, and she said, "Listen up! Two things you're to hear. Thank you. And the second thing, don't you ever shame one of my students like this again. Don't shame anybody like this again." So listen up is an exercise in cultivating the power of compassion in our lives and the resolve to advocate for people who are not so safe. Amen.